Blog Talk Radio. Gloria Wells, who moderates our chat room. Hey, Pam, how are you this morning? Pam is in our chat room this morning. We have a couple of guests in our chat room. Sorry I wasn't here yesterday, but boy, I have a story to tell. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Dr. Reggie.
Yes.
How are you?
1 degree. To perfection. I'm going to say 1 degree above nothing because your father used to say that.
Oh, my dad said, yeah. Mm-hmm. 1 degree above nothing, but you're what, 2 degrees above something, huh?
Perfection. Mm-hmm.
Perfection. Amen. Amen. So listen, you know, here we are in this wonderful apartment. And I Reggie and I get ready to go to, he has a client that had requested a clearing, house clearing, and so I'm getting ready to take him to the client, and I cannot find my glasses anywhere. And I haven't been out of the house, and I remember wearing them that morning, but by the time I went to take a shower, get dressed, and they disappeared. It's been 2 days. We still have not found them in this house. So, unfortunately, I tried to work that day on the computer, and then I sat there. It was very hard because I couldn't see. I got a headache, and then I woke up, and my eyes were just fried, and I was in so much pain yesterday that I wasn't able to do the show. So I really apologize, but if anybody out there who is an intuitive can tell me where my glasses are, please give me a call at 914-338-0590. So I have contacts. I went to get an emergency pair of contacts so that I could at least see and take some of the stress off my eyes. But so we missed you guys, but I know that there's a lesson here for me. At one point when we were scrambling through the house and Reggie was, you know, why can't you put things in the same place? And I'm like, I do. I have 3 places where I put my glasses, and it's not in either one of them. And I'm like, don't fuss at me now. And so finally, in the midst of all of that, I sat down. And I know he looked at me kind of strange, like, what are you doing? I said, you know what? No resistance. I'm letting this go. Maybe we're not supposed to leave the house. And I just sat down. I practice the principle. No resistance. Isn't that right, Dr. Edge?
Mm-hmm. But you're telling me I fussed at you. You make me sound like an ogre under the bridge.
Oh, no.
And you threw me under the bus. That's terrible. Since I didn't act like that. Why do you exaggerate and say things like that?
Oh.
I didn't scream and yell at you at all and say, why don't you put your glasses in the same place? I asked you, why don't you have one place for these things? You said, I do. The dining room, the bathroom, the bedroom, and my desk. That's 4 places.
But I have a habit. I know where I'm.
Yes,
I know
you
where
normally do, but the elves came and made them vanish. I don't know what it is, but it's okay. It is what it is.
You see how this works. He thinks that he has a perception, and I have a perception. So my perception is, I was being reprimanded for not being a good, what's the word I'm looking for? Custodian of my glasses. And his perception was he was just making a suggestion. But we laugh through it, don't we, Dr. Reggie?
We normally do. We do. We do. I don't take it too seriously.
No, no. It's just two perceptions. And see, that's why communication is so important. And you have to hear the other person and what they're saying. So, he always says, you make me look like an ogre, because I always interpret what he's saying as that I'm not at a level of perfection. But that's my responsibility, is it not? How I perceive it, no one else can do that. So you guys got a great lesson this morning. We are in the book study of Even Mystics Have Bills to Pay, Balancing a Spiritual Life and Our Earthly Living, which is written by Jim Rosemurgy. And I'm actually enjoying this book and hope that you are too. We left off on Tuesday. We were talking about bringing prosperity in the home. And really, Jim Rosemurgy has given us a challenge to actually practice the principles that he outlined in the first part of this book. And so he's now telling us, well, listen, if you want to really test these principles, let's start at home. Don't try to go outside of the home. Let's start at home. And we left off with Thanksgiving. So I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our morning prayer, and then we're going to move into this lesson. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life, a brand new day under a brand new sky. Let us use it to grow, learn, laugh, and love. We thank you for the lessons in Circles of Prosperity and the listeners, and I ask that they be blessed and empowered and energized and strengthened with every opportunity there is to do the right thing and to be abundant in all things. And all things, like you say in the scriptures, above all things to prosper. So I believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. So and so it is. Okay, so his lesson to us is on Tuesday was about giving thanks. And he made a suggestion that the entire family gather together and make a list of all the things for which they could be thankful for. And I'm curious if anybody did that, made a list of what you can be thankful for. Why is he doing this? Because he wants us to shift our consciousness. You know, though, you've heard these terms before, and here you are hearing again the principle of thanksgiving and the power of thanksgiving. Dr. Reggie teaches a lot about the power of giving thanks. And but there's the practice of thankfulness. It turns our thinking from what we do not have, and that's a have-not consciousness, to what we have. And see, just the fact when we don't acknowledge the things that we already have, when we're constantly talking about what we don't have, you are actually creating a don't-have reality. You're creating lack. Those thoughts of what I don't have, what I don't want, it's all about lack. So if you're practicing the law of attraction and it's not working for you, the one thing you will get from this lesson is, oh, I need to be thankful for what I have, because you need to shift your energy in not even acknowledging lack on any level in your life. It's a powerful lesson, very, very powerful lesson. He goes on to say that his second suggestion is that whenever you receive a check made out to you, endorse it as you always do, and then write below your signature the word blessings. He said, this simple act is a tangible way of saying thank you For through our banking system, the cancel check returns to the one who issued it. And the important point is that it's not the check that returns, but our attitude when we receive a blessing. I don't use checks anymore. Anybody else here still using checks? So, I mean, if we're in the electronic world, I mean, I send bill payments directly from my bank account. I'm sorry, I'm watching the chat room this morning, making sure what's going on. So, Pam, I hear you about your back, and we're holding you in prayer. So I'm sorry, but anyway. We have to figure out a way electronically, if anybody can think of something, because a lot of you are still paying your bills. I mean, a lot of you may have transitioned to paying your bills online, or the money is being taken out automatically. There has to be some mechanism for you to be grateful and thankful and feeling blessed that that bill is being paid, and we'll have to think about that. I'll put my thinking cap on. So that you can do something within that in the electronic world that will be the same as writing on the check. But if you're still issuing checks, then at the bottom of your check you need to say blessings. Again, he is doing this to move our consciousness out of fear of what the future of lack, out of our thoughts of lack. Everything that occurs in our life is a blessing. I went on a 30-day blessing mission where I was reading somewhere that the Lord's Prayer, it has a statement that says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And when they're talking about bread in the Lord's Prayer, it's the things that you need for that day for your survival. Remember that God is our source, always providing. And so I went through this period where I was thankful for everything. I even remember putting dishes in the dishwasher and saying, "Oh, Lord, I'm thankful for this dishwasher because I don't have to wash these dishes." You know, little things that we just take for granted. What needs were met for the day? Be thankful for them. Be thankful for them. He says that a family may be plagued by negative thinking, but fear of the future is also limiting, because those who fear tomorrow, they hoard their belongings. So let us look at our closets and our storage areas. Do we really need all of that stuff? Some, it is said, has sentimental value. Well, if this is true, why are these valuable artifacts that are so much a part of our lives stored in the attic and other out-of-the-way places? One would assume that something that was so precious would be displayed for us and others to see, or that it would be used each day. And sometimes we say, "Oh, but I may need that one day." And yeah, perhaps you will. But how are you going to find it? Since you don't have an inventory of the items that are in the attic or the back of the closet or that's even in the basement. And in many instances, we have just forgotten that we even have the stuff. So the truth is, here's the truth. We hoard because we feel insecure. And what does that mean if you're insecure? That means that you believe in a limited supply and that you are fearing what tomorrow may bring. So we accumulate all this stuff because we mistakenly think that it makes us secure. But hoarding actually contributes to our sense of limitation and feelings of insecurity. How many of you are hoarders? You may not say, you may not be as bad as on that reality show where people can't even get through the door of their house. I mean, a lot of you, when you hear the word hoard, you probably have that image. But how many of you have stuff that you just don't need, you don't even use? I was digging around in my closet yesterday and I realized looking for my glasses, right? And they were like three bags of clothes. I haven't seen them in I don't know when, stuck in the back of the closet because I had no place to put them. And I don't consider myself a hoarder. But there it is. So what is that about? Why am I holding on to this stuff? Somewhere in my consciousness, I must feel I'm going to need this at some point. Or I'm holding on to the memory of when I was small enough to get in those things. And that one day I might be small enough again. And by that time, don't you think I'm going to want some new clothes if I ever get that body back? I think so, yes. The truth is that what we hoard because we feel insecure, we believe in a limited supply, and we fear what tomorrow may bring. We accumulate stuff because we mistakenly think it makes us secure. But hoarding actually contributes to our sense of limitation and feeling of insecurity. So, I'm going back to this. Those who say, the law of attraction doesn't work for me, it's a bunch of junk. How much junk are you hoarding? Because you're not really moving in to the consciousness. As long as you're holding on to stuff like that, you're not in a consciousness of abundance, of attracting that which you desire. Abundance, right? You're really exhibiting a thought of consciousness of limitation and the fear of not having. But yet still, and so you're creating lack and limitation based on the laws of attraction. How many of you are getting that? You understand where I'm coming from? I hope I'm making it clear. He goes on to share this story. You've heard this story before if you sat in church, but now you get to look at it with, hear it with new ears, okay? We're talking about Exodus chapter 16, verse 13 through 30, and it illustrates what happens when we hoard. After the Hebrews escaped from Egypt, manna fed them while they wandered in the wilderness. It was their daily bread, a gift of God that sustained them for years as they meandered toward the promised land. God's guidance concerning manna was a very, very clear. Each family was to gather what it needed for one day. Only on the day before the Sabbath were the Hebrews to gather twice as much manna as usual. And that cachet of daily bread ensured that the holy day would be a day of rest. So what do you think the Hebrews did? They were told, just get enough manna for the day. Well, the people did not heed God's direction because they feared not having enough food for tomorrow, and they gathered more than what they needed. And when they awoke, that hoarded manna was foul, and it was filled with worms. It had spoiled. So this is what happened. When we believe in a limited supply and fear tomorrow, our fear and thoughts of lack spoil what we have. It may be our belongings or our state of mind, but there is spoilage. Do you guys get it now? And what does that? They weren't trusting God to be their supply, were they? To be the source. They didn't have the consciousness to believe that God would provide for their needs. Their fear took over. Their fear took over. I'm not saying to move into this consciousness is easy. I won't tell you that it's easy. It is easy. But we have a lot of of embedded theology in us, a lot of things that the world is telling us that if we don't do this, this is going to happen. And if you don't do this, this will happen. So there's a lot of fear built up, and it takes time for you to unravel that fear. And the bottom line is, I cannot do that work for you. I can be a guidepost to show you the way, but you have to do the work. And I think that that is just such a beautiful thing, because when you do the work and when the revelation comes to you, you're going to want to share it with other people. And that's how the world transforms, one person at a time. So how many of you have some fears that you need to deal with in order to move into the consciousness of abundance? And another thing that I notice about this story is trust. Well, one of the adages that we say here on Circles of Prosperity, have trust in trust and faith in faith. Know that those things are real, that they work for you, not against you. So here's a reminder. First of all, what? God is our source, whatever you want to call God. Source, universe, divine energy. You know, the name doesn't matter. The point is that something greater than us provides for us. It's the source. And a consciousness of God, a consciousness of our awareness of that thing that is greater, that energy that is greater, that's the supply. And that requires trust. It is like the manna. It's available every day. You don't have to go looking for it. It's already within you. That's also the beauty of it. No one can hoard it. Nobody can hoard it. They can't take it away from you. It is in you. It is your birthright. An awareness of God, an awareness of God is available each moment of the day. Take a deep breath. Breathe on that. Receive it. Receive that truth. So, as a family, whether it is one or many people, as you guys purge your home, go through the closets and the drawers and the attic and the basement and all these storage areas. And here's a rule. If an item has not been used for a full season, like let's say, for instance, a winter coat, then it is time to let that go and give your items away or just have a garage sale. Clear the house. Clean it out. Clean your closets out. And letting go is important. You know, you don't think that hoarding this stuff has anything to do with what's going on in your mind. We have a disconnect there. But it does. If you look at those items and you think about, oh, I need to give this away, pay attention to how you feel when you say that. Pay attention to how you feel, and that will help you see where you're holding on in fear, if that's going on with you. Oh, I don't want to give that away. Oh, no, that means too much to me. But you have it stuffed away somewhere. Think about how you're feeling as you rummage through your closets. Letting go. All right, he wants to talk about paying your bills. Anybody ready to hear that this morning? Okay, so when we are rich in spirit, we pay our bills with joy. How many of you pay your bills with joy? Oh, Lord, I got to pay this bill. Oh, now I'm not going to have any money left. I won't have money left for this. Let me figure out what I'm going to do. I've been there, okay? When we are poor, if we pay our bills, we often do so begrudgingly. Think about that for a moment. So here he says, look, the power company has supplied us with electricity for a whole month, allowing us to live in a relative comfort and to do things associated with modern living. But we resent having to pay the bill. We have so many current needs. And what about tomorrow? So we reluctantly mail the payment, but we wish we could use the money for another purpose. And this attitude and behavior are signs of a consciousness of lack, a belief in a limited supply, and fear of tomorrow. And I will wait, I tell you, I will wait till the last day to pay that bill. And Dr. Reggie says, we have the money. Why don't you just pay the bill? He's showing me in his loving way that I have a fearful thought. So I'm not above having these thoughts. These are my challenges. I hope you guys handle it a lot better than I do. Anyway, many people have begun to pay their bills in a different way because in the lower left-hand corner of their checks where it says for, they write blessings or thank you, God. It's a different way. So, and here's why he says it's important. It has three benefits. Number one, it acknowledges God as the source. Number two, it expresses joy rather than resentment when paying the bills. And number three, it establishes a giving state of mind. So these are the chief ingredients to the heart of a prosperous person. There's no fear there that there won't be enough or that you're going to run out or that you're going to need this money for something else. You go ahead and take care of your needs. Trust in trust. Having faith in faith that your needs will be met, that there is an unlimited supply. It shifts your consciousness, doesn't it? And it moves you into that state of joy. And what do we know about the state of joy? Joy is an exact vibrational match with that energy that we call God that connects us. There's a guy who channels an energy called Bashar, B-A-S-H-A-R. And in his teachings, he's encouraging you, do what excites you. He gets so animated when he talks about it. He's talking about do what you're passionate about, do what gives you that. And he says that the vibration of excitement just, it has so much energy, so much power. So, and to me, that excitement equals and means joy. Can you imagine writing checks filled with joy? Okay, so there may not be enough at the time to pay all of the bills at one time. But whatever gets paid, be joyful about it. And thankful, and know that more is coming. When resentment and reluctance are replaced by a desire to bless, the great blessing that only God can give is rising from the fountainhead within us. Because remember, God cannot do more for you than what it can do through you. God needs to express through you. Okay? All right, here's the next lesson. Keeping up with the Joneses. And he starts this off so cute. He said, who are the Joneses? And how did they get so prosperous? Keeping up with the Joneses. Why do we envy and dislike them? And bemoan their wealth and question, how did they obtain it? Because on the surface, envy is about the Joneses. But because envy is a feeling that we have, when we begrudge someone the blessings of his or her life, envy actually masks beliefs that we hold about ourselves. Wow. Yeah, all right. Envy is masking a belief that you have about yourself. So it appears that we want what another person has, but the truth is we do not believe we have the ability to experience life in a similar way. And basically, envy is a feeling which hides this deep and is often an unconscious belief that we cannot become aware of our source. And guess what? That's a lie. That is a lie. Infinite states of consciousness are available to us. Infinite. Unending states of consciousness. When we open ourselves to a new awareness, we will not resent what others have or try to keep up with the Joneses. We will just rejoice with them. And then we will give our attention to the depths of our souls and let an awareness of God's unlimited supply just sweep over us. And in this way, we gain not the possessions of another person or even duplicate what another has acquired, but instead we experience another dimension of the kingdom. And this is of greater value than any earthly thing. Let go of the resentment. Let go of the envy. You are seeking the kingdom. The Bible clearly tells us, seek ye first the kingdom. And all of those things, these things that the Joneses have, that'll be given to you if you so desire. But you're going to find so much bliss. And there's so much stress that's no longer in your life when you have this relationship with God. It's not your religion. It's the relationship that it will fulfill you, that you don't need things. Big difference now. You may want them, but you don't need them. You know you can create it. You know you can create it. All you have to say is abracadabra. You can create it. As I speak it, I create it. You know that. You know that you know that you know. But that won't be what's important to you when you have relationship with your divine self, which we call God. Something more will be important to you. Trust me. I know it to be true. And I know I have looked at people in my younger days. Oh, they got this car. Oh, do you see this? Oh, and I, well, how do they do that? And I remember having a deep longing in myself to have that thing. I don't have that anymore. When I see how fabulous people are doing, I'm going, oh, wow, isn't that awesome? Because you know what I say? I go, wow, look how God is expressing through that person. That's their divine path. Wow. And you never, never know all of the drama or things that those people have to go through. But they've met those challenges and they're experiencing that life. And it's their divine path. They have their lessons. You have yours. But whatever they're manifesting, don't envy it. It is a magnificent show of the power of God and the creative process. Be thankful. Okay, so now we're going to learn how to save. financial planners tell us that we should have 6 months of our income in a savings account to prepare us for the unfortunate circumstances of loss of our job or other income. It would be nice. It makes logical sense. But what happens after the 6 months if we do not have another job? To what savings account will we turn? I am now in my, I'm going on my fourth year without a job. I mean, I just stopped looking at some point. And now I totally trust God for my source, as my source. And you know what? I give my talents to other people, and somehow things just always work out. I was into my third year before I realized, oh my God, I haven't worked in 2 years, going on 3 years, and yet everything is kind of moving along. Yeah, we've had to shave down things. We've had to make some shifts. But the beauty of it is that I really discovered what I love to do. And I don't think I would have discovered that had I had another job. And so the changes that have occurred in our lives and the way we've had to shift in order to make things work have really been a blessing. I don't resent them at all. It's all been a blessing. And I'm really fortunate to have a husband who is so in tune that he moves with this with grace and helps me to move through these changes with grace. There is a benefit when you release and have no resistance to what's going on in your life and let it just happen. I think that's the most powerful lesson that I've learned in 2012. I just give up because I've realized is that when some of these dramas come up and we think that it's the worst thing that could happen to us, things are really changing for you to have a better life. You don't see it in the midst of the problem. If you release and let it go, you release the stress. Because really, the universe is here to support you. It's trying to move you into your blessing. You don't even see that. You're missing it. So I'm telling you, those of you who may have a mortgage right now and you cannot meet that mortgage and you're stressing out about it and you're saying, oh my goodness, I'm going into a foreclosure, and you're doing everything, struggling to hold on to that house, my recommendation is let it go, because the longer you're holding on to it, it's a fear that you're having. Let go of the fear. Trust God. You'll move into you're moving into a better life. You're being released so you can have a better life. You can't see it now. And I'm bringing this up because I know a lot of people are struggling right now with foreclosures. In our environment right now, the whole planet is doing a readjustment. So the old ways of doing things are fading away, and part of that is the way these mortgages and things are done. There's an adjustment. Dr. Reggie and I were so upside down in our mortgage, it was crazy. We lost over about $160,000 in value that we lost. And I can't tell you, the beauty of letting things go. Let go and let God. You just never know. you're so afraid of what's on the other side, but what's on the other side may be just what you need and move you into your joy. Hey, I want to talk to some people this morning. Anybody want to talk to me? Press 1 on your telephone keypad. Hey, Susie, how are you this morning? She's in the chat room. Yeah. Oh. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, baby?
I'm good, darling. How are you?
I'm fine. This is Cody, huh?
Oh, my God. This is so powerful, this lesson. Oh, you know, it's strange. I was in here, and I'm still having problems with my leg. I'm moving very slow. I went to a friend of ours. We went to see a surgeon, and as I was talking to the surgeon, I realized that was not the answer, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I listened to the surgeon, and I came on back here in my little pretty house of doom, I call it, because ain't nobody in here but me. And a lot of times, when you're going through something, you just don't know. When you're by yourself, you're like your worst enemy, you know what I mean? So to speak, because your mind just goes help and scout, and you be thinking everything. But why I'm calling, because I was listening to you, and, you know, the Creator woke me up just to hear this message, you know?
Uh-huh.
And as soon as you were talking about letting go, I got to thinking about them 12-man coats, and you said, if you ain't warm in a year, I haven't worn those coats, because it hasn't been cold or nothing. You know, to wear the coats, you know, I have to pay to keep them storage and everything. And I don't even have the same attachment to them now as I did before, you know. And I was interesting because I was able to talk to the people in Atlanta yesterday about my blood work and how I want to change some things to help my health, because the health is the most important thing. So I said, now, Cody, you up here, you're worried about a business, you're worried about a house, you're worried. And I heard when you were talking about you and Dr. Reggie with your house, you're letting go, you know what I mean? But God had worked the house out for me. But the businesses and all these things, you know, I mean, I'm writing on my mirror, let go and let God. And just, you know, just let it go. And I guess it's hard because, you know, I grew up poor, you know.
Right.
I could remember cutting out cardboard to put in my shoes for different sizes, so with different degrees of work. When I walk in the rain, when I go to school, I have about 5 or 6 pieces of extra sole, I call them, in my pocket. But it was really cardboard, you know?
Uh-huh.
I used to call, when I get to a puddle of water, I was walking like a duck, you know, on my heels, so I would get that cardboard wet. But anyway, and I think as I got older, I know as I got older, and when I was blessed, sometimes a blessing can be a curse. I don't want to say it like that, but a blessing is for a blessing at the time and the season. And now, a lot of these things, I really don't need, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I really don't need, but I'm older. I want to hold on because I don't think I have anything else. It, you know, my confidence level and my faith is not that high. You know, I'm older now. I'm by myself. You know, I can wish that I had done some things, you know, in terms of mates. And it's just so much. And I won't bore you with all of this, but it was just beautiful hearing you this morning. And I need to get that lesson. I need to listen to it because it's right on time. Because I'm at the, you know, I've come further than I got to go in life, and I need to know that what I have now is not working for me, but I'm scared to let it go. And that's real confusion in your life, you know.
Yes, it is. So can you hold on while we just go into our closing prayer? We're going to stop streaming. I want to continue our conversation. I just want to let Dr. Reggie go ahead and do the close real quick.
Okay.
Hold on, okay?
Sure.
Lesson. now that I'm unmuted, I thank God for the beautiful lesson we had today and the beautiful challenges we face, that we can overcome them. I thank you, God, for everything we go through, because we're getting to a higher learning lesson and under a higher power. We thank you for everything and take nothing for granted. Everything is a gift, and when obstacles in our way, they're for us to overcome and to grow. Thank you, God. Let us always say thank you for every good thing that is, because on the other side, there's a bigger blessing. I believe it is so, and so it is.
So it is. I just wanted to have make sure that we did a closing prayer there. You know, Cody, I have you in my consciousness all the time. I'm holding you in prayer because we're close, and I kind of know things that are going through you. And, of course, as I'm going through this lesson, you are just in the forefront of my mind, and I'm so grateful that you, you know, were awakened this morning so that you could hear this lesson. It, you know, let things go. It's okay. I know that you want that you're seeking another way of life. Those things that you have were for another Cody.
Right. But, you know, I don't have, it seems to me I'm scared I don't have nothing to replace it with. So I want to hold on. Even though they don't have the same value, you know, I can care less about them coats now. But before, I thought I was that Cody, and I had to struck with them first. And now I look at it now, and you know what really got me the other day, sis? I had on, it was cold out here, and I had on a coyote, which keeps you real warm, you know, the fur coyote. And the guy said, damn, Cody, don't you know that you know, it's not politically correct to wear them no more? I say, you know, you need a good wool coat. Now, I got wool coats. But I wanted to wear my coyote. I really was trying to get somewhere out of the coat since I never wear it. You know what I mean? The seasons change. And then when you wear the coat, now I wonder when people look at me, they say, this, well, whatever they say, you know, he ran here killing animals or something like that. I don't know. But you understand what I'm saying?
But you have to, you'll move into the direction that you're guided to when you feel it's the right time. At least now you're being, you know, the seed has been planted. So it's a process.
Yeah. Thank you, though. Thank you for listening to me, my sister, as always. You know I love you and Dr. Reggie. But it's just amazing how the Creator woke me. I really would have been woke earlier because I'm having pain with my leg. Anyway, but as I listen to that, I'm like, you were just talking just to me, you know what I mean? And I'm not going to keep listening to these programs and know what to do and don't do them. So I promise you today, I'm going to get some of these things out of here, you know. And one reason I said I hold them and get some of my money back. But if I don't get no money back, it's okay. It's okay. Let somebody else enjoy them, whoever wants. It's their season. It's their time for that. I've had my time. I've had my experience. Now, the only thing I want to do now is just have peace of mind, love, health, respect, and prosperity. That's all I want. You know,
well,
I don't,
it's, you know, all available to you right now.
Because really, you know, I look at my life now and I say, you know, I've come further than I've got to go. And it ain't been too shabby. It had some ups and downs. But through all those blessings and prayers and everything, you know, I did all right. Now, I guess, you know, I did prepare, and that's what we need to talk about. I celebrated 27 years sobriety the first of this month, 27.
Wow.
I've been clean 27 years. And the first two things I talk about, low self-esteem, which I thought all those materialistic things would erase, but it didn't. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about, Dr. Reggie. You know, I'll be feeling like this, that, and that'll make me feel. But inside, I had that void in that stomach. And that, I say, well, if you don't feel this void, all this other stuff, do not count.
It doesn't. That's absolutely right. And those things don't fill the void.
And they're just things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're just things. I hope in your sharing that a lot of people say, God, there must be something to that. Cynthia's saying it. Cody's saying it.
Let this stuff go.
Yeah, let it go.
And another thing, age break, I don't want to talk to Jehovah's Witnesses, but, we're going to have a class on this, and y'all had to tell me to shut up. Listen, it is so much better. It is so much better to come to grips with this stuff, and we recognize your fear. We talk it and everything, but you really don't want to get rid of your little stuff because, like me, I'm unemployed. I mean, I got a business, but it's not making no money. But as I was laying on that bed listening to you, I said maybe one of the reasons you're not making no money, but you ain't let go of the stuff that you need to let go to make room for the stuff you need to come in, you know?
Hello?
I know. But when you're 67 years old, you say, well, shucks. I don't want to let go of this stuff, you know? I don't run as fast. I'm up here hopping. I'm walking like Fred Sanford right now, you know. Hello, Elizabeth. You know? No, I call Elizabeth, but you know what I mean? And then you say, well, you know, they like 20 years ago, I could run around a box. I used to run 7 miles. I used to run backwards and all that kind of stuff. But all that's gone. You know, so I'm going to take this lesson, and I hope everybody else do. It's just clean house shit. I mean, shuck, whatever happens, it's going to be all right. Just have to have faith in it that it's going to, you know, everything's going to be okay.
Hey.
But I tell you, being in here, and the house might be okay and all that, but you're your worst enemy. I need to get out of here, bad leg or not. You need to get out and get around people. But one thing blessed me is this is service of prosperity every morning. Oh. And when it don't come on, I say, oh God, I hope my sister and them paid the bills, you know. But I can.
No, we paid the bill. We paid.
You
know,
I said, shut. Yo, I said, well, you need to send them a little donation down there. You know they got to keep this thing going. You know? Oh, I know what to do. You know what I mean? But this is so meaningful to a lot of people. Don't you tell me for 1 minute that this is so badly needed and certainly appreciated by me and a lot of other people. I got my sisters on here, and I need to put more people on there because – you know, I'm not doing them a favor. I'm just awakening them to some knowledge that you don't get every day. You know, who walks around telling you, Cody, you need to get rid of all that stuff and let that stuff go because it's something much greater, something much bigger for you on the other side. But you can't have both of them. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You've got to let it go. You got to have your faith, put your trust in God, and walk with it. Even if you live it, you got to walk with it. You know what I mean?
Amen. That's right. I you know, there's so much to be learned from the lessons of when you really start practicing. Because I tell you, when you start practicing these principles, you're going to be challenged. There was a moment where I said, here I am, I'm teaching all this stuff. And all of a sudden now, just money just dried up, and I had to buckle down, and I went back. I said, okay, I know that this is real. I know that this is real. I know I can rely on it. I know I can depend on it. I'm going to practice. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? You know, and slowly but surely, things started turning around.
You got to practice this principle.
You do. And I have a deeper understanding of them now after going through these channels. And I believe in them even more. And I believe it impacts the way I teach and share. I know that these principles work.
Exactly. And it's been tried, tested, and proven. And you know it works, you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing, like you say, saving, you know, I never saved. I thought every day was, you know, it reminds me of when we were in school, we talk about the squirrels. I was so dumb, I'm dumber than a squirrel. A squirrel will put nuts away for the winter, you know?
Oh, yeah.
In this tree, you know, I don't know if they do that. I'm sure they do, but you know what I mean. They put nuts away for the winter. You know, we learned that. You know, all the little Aesop fables we learned in school are coming to be true. And all of the principles that have been tried, tested, and proven, and they will work whether you do it or not.
Amen. Well, you know, I have one other caller that wants to say something this morning. So, Cody,
I'm sorry. I've been in this conversation.
No, because I think it's so important for people to hear how other people are experiencing these principles and what they're going on. And so I love to talk to you guys, and, you know.
Well, we love to talk to you too, baby. Go ahead.
I love you.
Much love. Much love.
Good morning, Pamela and Alicia.
Good morning, East Coasters.
How are you? My girl calling from the West Coast at 4 o'clock in the morning. What's going on, girl?
Oh, it's just beautiful as usual. It's raining right now. It's dark, and then somebody's car was on for the last 30 minutes.
My goodness.
But it's beautiful this morning so far.
Oh, rain.
It's beautiful outside. I appreciate what you said, Cody, because while he was speaking, and really while I was listening to you teach before he got on the line, I think I've shared this song with you once before, Cynthia, how it just comforts me, and it just seemed like it was so appropriate for your lesson today, so I was wondering if I could just sing this one little bar.
Okay, sing it for us.
All right. I release and I let go and let the Spirit run my life. And my heart is open wide. Yes, I'm only here for God. No more struggle, no more strife. With my faith, I see the light. And my heart is open wide. Yes, I'm only here for God. And that song comes up into my spirit every time
wow.
I get scared. And you and I have always talked about the fears that we have.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to what you said in your lesson today and listening to Cody, that's what my spirit was telling me this morning, just release and let it go, and I'm very grateful for that because I don't know what's on the other side. But when I have faith in God and faith in what I've already learned, that God is always there for us to succeed and to prosper the way God wants us to prosper. I mean, his way of prospering us is different than at least what I've learned from my way of prospering. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's, you know, once you have your spiritual stuff down, or what you appear to have down, packed and planted and grounded in yourself, that's when you see all of those other blessings and those other things come up.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing. That is so true. Okay, see, you guys, you're hearing these people. I don't ask them to say these things. They are living the principles and they're beginning to see it themselves. These are their revelations from living these principles. It is so true. Something else happens inside of you. You know, the next part of this lesson, when he's talking about saving, he says that we need to look at saving in a different way. It's not about hoarding out of fear. We're saving so that we can do greater things. It's an opportunity fund, not because a rainy day is gonna come. That was what my father took care of him for 3 years before he transitioned, and he had become a quadriplegic, a very freak thing that accident. He had a spinal cord injury, and his mantra was, you need to save money for a rainy day, for a rainy day. So I'm going through. I'm like, caring for someone requires money. And he had invested in a lot of real estate and everything. And so I said, Dad, we need to probably try to sell a piece of property so that we can have some funds here to take care of you. And he says, Well, I don't know. I don't know. I was saving for a rainy day. And I said, well, I think we're beyond a rainy day right now. This is a huge storm. And he chuckled. He started laughing because he realized, oh, my God, this is it. You know,
this is a rainy day.
Right. And in this book study, he says, we are really looking for an opportunity. It's an opportunity for a fund rather than that fund for a rainy day. We're not looking for the trouble. We're looking for the opportunity. And even then, that was an opportunity to take care of my father, you know, and to liquidate some things so that we could take care of his needs. So anyway, thank you so much for sharing. I love this. I absolutely love this. When you guys really share from your heart and show that the principles work. And what a beautiful song. I know that song.
I know you do.
Yes, I do. I love that song. Yes, just release and let go. Okay, precious. Well, we're going to say,
love you guys.
We love you too. And I'm going to say goodbye. And you guys download this archive and listen to it, or send a link to your friends and share it with your friends, because I think this was a good lesson today. God bless you. You guys have a great day. Tomorrow is Oracle Friday. Don't forget, tweet your friends. Let them know.
Okay.
One more thing to share with you guys. Dr. Reggie is doing, you're going to get an email. I'm sending it out today. He's doing this thing called Burning Question Marathon. He's trying to see how many readings he can do in 72 hours. You get to ask one question. It's $20 for the one question. If you have a follow-up question, it's $10. Of course, this is a fundraising event. So if you haven't had a chance to make a donation, you can participate in this marathon. He said, oh, my God, Cynthia, I'm going to be worn out.
No, he's not.
He's not. So this is going to be fun. It's called the Burning Question Marathon. Look for the email coming up, because it'll give you the link on where to go and everything. And I'll announce it again tomorrow. But it's going to be fun. And I want you to share with your friends. We're going to see how many he can do. It's going to be really a hoot. And so we'll try to record some video and let you see what's going on, you know, periodically through the marathon. But it'll be cool. 72 hours, $20, you know, to ask that burning question that you really have to know the answer to from the 21st century prophet, Dr. Reggie. It's going to be awesome.
Awesome.
All right. Love you guys.
Love you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.